Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. We begin today's shiur at the beginning of the new perek, in fact, the last perek of Maseches Shabbos, the 24th perek, Mi Shehichshich. But before we begin our new perek on Daf Kuf Nun Gimel, a brief announcement, and that is that we are in Mirza Shem going to continue our Daf Yomi Gemara Marking Shiur with Maseches Erevin. It is highly recommended, if not even essential, to acquire the book of illustrations, which is entitled Pirush Chai, authored by Rav Chaim Porush, a book of illustrations that covers the entire Maseches, Masechta Erevin. In Mirz Hashem, during our Shiurim, we will be making reference to the various illustrations and diagrams in that particular work, possibly by page number and diagram number, so to make things easier and so that we can coordinate our efforts for maximum results, that Sefer is recommended. There are other works on the market that contain illustrations and diagrams of relevant value to Maseches Erevin. Those two might be very helpful as well. But our recommendation for maximum cooperative effort would be acquiring the Pirush Chai. With that having been said, we turn to our new perek, the lower half of Daf Kuf Nun Gimel, Omed Aleph, Maseches Shabbos. Mi shehichshich lo baderech. Someone who was on the road, and it was late Friday, and he has his wallet with money in it. Nosein kiso lenochri. He should give his pouch, his wallet, to a Gentile while it's still Friday. In other words, before the onset of Shabbos. V'im'ein imo nochri, and if he doesn't have accompanying him a Gentile, manicho al hachamor. He should leave it on the donkey and walk with it to his destination. Higia lechotzer hachitzona. When he gets to the outermost courtyard of the city unto which he is traveling, and this courtyard is a place that's called in Hebrew a mokom hamishtamer. It's a guarded as opposed to an open location. Notel es hakelim hanitlim b'shabbos. He is then able to take off the donkey those kind of vessels that are movable vis-a-vis Shabbos, in other words, that are useful for Shabbos. We'll say the non-muktza items. And those items that are not movable vis-a-vis Shabbos, v'she'enon nitlin b'shabbos, then matir hachavolim v'hasakin noiflin me'aleim. He then undoes the ropes, and the sacks will fall groundwards on their own. We take a look at the topic heading on the side of the Gemara, where we've written under our nosei dafka kis mutur loseis lenochri. The Gemara will make a point in a couple of lines that only a wallet one gives to an ochri, the afuke mitzia lelo, as opposed to something that you simply found on the way, that you don't give to the ochri. The Gemara opens up with a question, though, that deals with the basic issue of is there not a problem to begin with of having a Gentile serve or operate in service of a Jew on Shabbos for things the Jew himself cannot do? And in this case, the Jew is not allowed to carry the wallet homewards. So how is it that he is able to engage the services of a Gentile? The Gemara. my taimo shoru le rabbanon the mace of kisei v'nochri. What is the reason that the rabbanon allowed giving the wallet to the Gentile? Rashi says right under the Gemara, v'arehu shlucho lisa'enu b'shabbos. The Gentile is serving as an emissary for the Jew to carry in on Shabbos, and that is not, technically speaking, that's not allowed. So the Gemara answers. But maybe before we should simply preface that this prohibition is rabbinic in origin. The rabbis said it's a rabbinic ruling not to engage a Gentile in the service of a Jew for Shabbos activities. For, we'll say, prohibited Shabbos activities. The Gemara answers, why is it then that we, in this Mishnah, have this leniency of giving it to the Gentile? Kim lehu l'rabbanan. The Rabbanan know. The Rabbanan have delved down into the depths of the human psyche. D'ein odo mamid atzmo al mamono. A person, when he is confronted with the threat of financial loss, he cannot control himself. Ilo shoris lei. If you don't provide this allowance, giving the wallet full of his money to the Gentile, then the owner, the Jew owner, is going to end up carrying the wallet for a distance of 4 amos in a public thoroughfare, which is a different way of simply saying that he, the Jew, will come to be over, will come to violate a Torah-level prohibition of carrying items in public thoroughfares. So, as to preempt this problem, the rabbis compromised, let's say, on their basic rabbinic prohibition and said, in this case, our prohibition is not instated. Omar Rava. You'll notice that we have a diamond around Rava and a Roman numeral number one. If you notice a couple lines later, you'll see another diamond with a Roman numeral number two. We have two Lishonos. There is an Ikar D'Amri, a second version of how to present Rava. And as we mentioned in our introductory remarks to this section of Gemara here, the Gemara will discuss the contrast or difference between one's own wallet and a found item, a Metziah. Omar Rava, Dafka Kiso. The allowance of giving the giving to a Gentile is restricted to your own wallet. Aval mitzia lo. Let's say you found a wallet, found money that you would not be able to give to the Gentile to carry for you. Well, the Gemara says pshita kiso tanan. What do I really need Rava for? Pshita means it is obvious. Even without Rava, just by learning the Mishnah, I could come to that conclusion. The Mishnah is stated in the possessive form, his wallet. Not a found wallet. So what does Rava reveal to me that I wouldn't have known otherwise? Mahu detema. Without Rava, if I were left on my own learning the Mishnah, I would have thought, hu hadin afilu mitzia, that the allowance, the permission granted to the Jew to give to the Gentile includes a found item, something that you just found on the way. The high dikotoni kiso, and the fact the Mishnah uses the expression kiso is not to the exclusion of a mitzia. Urcha de milsikotoni. The Mishnah is simply using the common example. The finding of a lost item, especially a lost wallet, is very uncommon. Therefore, the Mishnah chooses a common example, your wallet. But if you happen to chance upon a mitzia, that too you could give to the Gentile to carry for you. Therefore, komash molon, Rava tells me, in fact, only wallet and not a mitzia. The Gemara continues to qualify the issue of the mitzia and the prohibition of mitzia of giving it to the Gentile. Velo amoron, elo, velo osi liode. The idea of not giving the wallet, not giving a mitzia to the Gentile is only if you, the Jew, haven't picked it up yet. Aval osi liode, if it's come to your hands, meaning you've picked it up already, then kikisei domi, then halachically it becomes like your own wallet. Iko diamri, boy Rava. Another version of presenting Rava is as follows. Mitzia habo liyodo mahu. A found item that you have picked up. what is its din with regard to now Erev Shabbos giving it to the Gentile. Kevan to also liyode kikise domi, since you have taken possession of it, you have picked it up, it becomes like yours, and therefore you could give it to the Gentile. Or do we say, since it's a found item, it's not something you invested efforts for. It's not something you went out to work for, to earn. And as a result of that, the original psychology won't apply. The idea that a person won't stand by and watch his money go to loss, that might be stated only with something that you invested efforts in order to earn, but something you didn't invest efforts for, like this found item. So, you know, as they say, easy come, easy go. And if he can't get it home on Shabbos on his own, so he doesn't have the option of giving it to the goy, and he won't continue to carry it because he didn't earn it. Therefore, since as he was low torachbo, he didn't invest efforts in earning the mitzia, lav kiki seidami won't have the same standard that we apply to the personal wallet. Teku, this question remains unresolved. So according to Rava version number 2, the issue of a found item and the permission to give it to the goy, to give it to the Gentile, Erev Shabbos, to carry for you is left open. Ein imo nochri. So our Mishnah said that if you didn't have a Gentile with you, so then you leave it on the donkey. Time of the ein imo nochri. Ho yesh imo nochri. Le nochri yohiv lei. Only in the event that you don't have a Gentile, then you have the donkey option. But if you have the Gentile with you, give it to the Gentile. My taimo, why is that? Why is it better to give it to the nohri than leaving it on the donkey to carry for you homewards? Answer. Chamor ato mitzuva al shvisoso. When it comes to your donkey, the Torah commands us to have our animals, our owned animals, be at a state of non-activity. It's be a state of rest, as you will. Nochri I ato mitzuva al shvisoso. However, a Jew is not commanded with regard to the shvisa, the cessation of activity of a Gentile. A Gentile is his own boss. He's a separate entity. One's animal is a possession of the owner, and hence the owner is commanded with regard to his animals, and therefore the nochri option, if available, is the only way to go. The Gemara goes on with a list that we have featured with a series marking. This represents, under our Mivne heading on the side, a Sidra Shel Mivchar, Lemi Loses, choices. There are a number of choices that we'll see presented in the Gemara as we go along. If we just go over the list, you have Chamor, V'cherish, V'shoite, V'kotten, four cases or choices. Who do you give it to? That is the wallet to carry for you. And then we will see Cherish, V'shoite, and then Shoite, V'kotten, and then Cherish, V'kotten. All kinds of different choices. And who is the one we are to choose to carry the wallet for us? So the Gemara. Chamor v'cherish v'shoite v'kotan, a chamor, a donkey, cherish, a deaf mute, a shoite is an imbecile, a cotton, a minor. A chamor monach lei, would leave the wallet on the back of the donkey. Notice, of course, the nohri is not in the running over here. He is not one of the choices. We've established that the nohri would be the best choice, but it's, assuming you don't have a nohri, how do you go? So, in this choice of four, leave it on the donkey. The cherish shoyte v'kotan, lo yohiv lei. Do not give it to one of these human beings. My taimo. Why is that? Answer, hani odom, hai lav odom. After all is said and done, these are people. And as Rashi says, within the realm of people, there are those that are chayiv b'mitzvahs. And if I were to give it to a person, I might eventually confuse myself and give it to a kind of person that is bound in mitzvah observing. We continue. Cheresh v'shoite. If this is your choice, the deaf mute versus the imbecile, we say v'shoite. Give it to the imbecile. He is classified as someone that has no das, no intellect or awareness whatsoever. The cheresh, the deaf mute, is someone who is classified as someone that has a low level of awareness, but he does have a level of awareness. So we would prefer to give it to the lesser of the two, namely the shoite. Question. Shoite v'katan, if that's your choice, who do you give it to? La shoite. Once again, you have we saw just a moment ago, cheresh versus shoite. The shoite is the one that gets to carry it. And if you have shoite v'katan, the shoite wins out, so to speak. You give it to the shoite, not to the katan being the minor. What about the two that we just saw lost out, so to speak, to the shoite? Bayalaho, cheresh v'katan mai. What about a choice between the deaf mute and the versus the minor? Who do you give it to? We should note that we're embarking upon what we call a long question, and our marking indicates thusly. You'll notice that this long question continues down a number of lines down the top of Amud Beis. So the question is, Cheresh versus Katan, who should you give the wallet to? Aliva de Rebbe Elezer lo tibayalach. According to the Tanaic authority of Rebbe Elazar, there is no question. In other words, it would be obvious to us that you would give it to the katan, because the katan is not a bar mitzvah, whereas the cheresh is someone that has a possibility of having a clear awareness, certainly at times. So that according to Rebbe Lozar, that we haven't learned yet, but we will see that he elevates, we'll say, the shoita to a certain, cheresh. He elevates the cheresh to a certain level of awareness that makes it such that you would give the kiss to the lower level individual, to the minor. The question will arise, however, according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, that classify the cheresh as not having das, not having awareness. And hence, he would be on the possibly very, very similar to the katan. So let us continue in the Gemara. Aliba de Rebbe Lozer lo tibayaloch. The question of cheresh versus katan is a non-starter when it comes to the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. Desanya, a Tanaic source will reveal Rebbe Lozer's opinion. This Tanaic source deals with the topic of truma tithing. The truma is a tithe one removes from his produce and gives to a kohen. Rabbi Yitzchok Omer, Mishum Rebbe Lozer. Rabbi Yitzchok, quoting Rebbe Lozer in the name of Rebbe Lozer, says, Trumas cheresh lo seitze lechulin. Produce from which truma was removed by a cheresh. A cheresh did the tithing. So the produce is lo teitze lechulin, does not become chulin. Chulin is a general term for produce, all produce after tithing has taken place. The removal of the truma tithe by a cheresh will not result in the permission or the permissibility of the produce. B'neishu sofek, because the cheresh is categorized as a doubt whether he has awareness of what he is doing. Is he aware that he is tithing? The Rashi at the top says, "Lo teitzei l'chulin v'havia truma le'esor l'zorim." The produce, the produce that he separated, will be considered truma so far as the non-kohanim will not be allowed to eat from it. So that his tithing effort had some legal impact. namely categorizing that produce that he removed as being labeled as truma, insofar as zorim, non-kohanim, forbidden to eat from it, v'yachso v'yitrum ha-pikeach acheres, and the a person who's a pikeach, who is aware, is called a normal person, shall take off another truma to make sure to that the remaining fruit is permissible, is chulin. Rashi continues and says, Shehu Safek. The Cheresh, according to Rabbi Elazar, is classified as a Safek. What's the Safek? What's the doubt? I das tzluto hi I lo. Is the awareness that a Cheresh has, is it an awareness that's tzlul, that is clear, that has clarity or not? According to Rabbi Yitzchok, who quoted Rabbi Elazar, you would definitely give the keys, the pouch, the wallet, in the Erev Shabbos situation to a minor. Delav bar mitzvos hu. He is not commanded. He is a minor. He doesn't have a mitzvah obligation upon him. Velo lecheresh, don't give it to the deaf mute. The suffek chayev a mitzvah. So he is someone that might very well be duty bound in the performance of mitzvos, putting him on a higher level than the katan, who is definitely not bound in mitzvah observing. So what we've said till now is that the question of cheresh versus katan, who do you give the pouch to, is not a question according to Rebbe Elazar, because it's clear you would give it to the katan, who is not chayav in mitzvahs whatsoever. You would not give it to the deaf mute because he has a suffix status. Ki tiboy aloch alibo de rabbanan. The question arises according to the rabbanan, who say that the cheresh does not have das tzlula. He doesn't have clarity of thought. Therefore, regarding mitzvos, he would be like a katan, like a minor. So the question is, who do we choose to give the kiss to? We have a brackets. The brackets are here for initial skipping purposes, as our note on the side indicates, where we have a star, that the brackets are to be skipped to keep the smooth flow of the Gemara going. Within the brackets, there the Gemara provides a background for the Shita of the Rabbanan. But let's skip for a moment to just maintain the smooth flow of the Gemara. The question is, according to the Rabbanan, and we prefaced, who say that the Cheresh has no Das, my, notice the skip, and Aleph Oy Dilma Beis, do we give it lecheresh shohiv lei to come osi lechlal das? Maybe we would opt to give it to the cheresh, to the deaf mute, and not the katan, because the katan will achieve das. He, as he matures, when he reaches bar mitzvah, he then has das. Oy dilma, we should say he has das, and the cheresh never reaches das. Dilma lechatan yohiv lei, or maybe we should give it to the katan, to the minor, the cheresh osi lechlufli begadol pikach, because if people see me giving it to an adult deaf mute, people will think you can give it to any adult, even a gadol, even an adult that is of sound mind, and that would clearly be forbidden. So, is to prevent the confusion, maybe it's better to give it to the katan. Okay, so what we've done in the Gemara is we've demonstrated how the question of whom do you give it to, cheresh versus katan, is a question within the shita of the Rabbanan, who say that the cheresh has no das. And now the background to the shita's Rabbanan, the snan. We have a Tanaic source. We're starting from the beginning of the bracketed section on the second line from the top. Chamisha lo yisromu, there are five that should not tithe your produce. V'im tarmu ein shumas and truma, and if they did act in tithing it, it is of no value. Eluhain, and here they are. And for our purposes, we have to focus only on the first example, the cheresh, because that's the, as we said, that's the focus of our point. And they include the cheresh, shoita, the katan. Number four, v'hatorim es sheinu shelo, some outsider that ties produce that's not his own, and v'nochri shetoram es shel Yisrael afilu birshuso, a Gentile that tithes that which belongs to a Jew, even if the Jew granted him license to do the tithing, ein shumaso truma, the truma is of no value, it is of no legal there is no legal impact on their tithing. My, so our question comes back, namely Cheresh versus Koton, according to the Rabbanon, who said that the Cheresh, his tithing is of no value, not a suffix like we saw by Rebbe Elazar, but it has no value, indicating to us that he has no das whatsoever. So lecheresh yohivle the katan osi lechal mitzvahs. Do we give it to the deaf mute and not to the katan, because the katan will come to a state of das, of awareness, whereas the cheresh doesn't ever come to a state of awareness. Oy dilma the katan yohivle. Maybe we should give it to the minor, the cheresh osi lechufi begodol bikeach, because if I were to give it to the cheresh, albeit he is not a bar das, but I might confuse him with an adult that is a bar das, that is of sound mind. And to give an adult of sound mind your wallet to carry for you on Shabbos would be a clear prohibition. So what's the answer? Iko di amri, some say lecheresh yohiv lei, and iko di amri, some say lekoton yohiv lei. The subject of a controversy. Continuing in the Gemara, with a title on the side under the Nosei heading, Tiltul Pochos Midal and Alas Vishus Rabim, the idea of carrying something at incremental distances, each one of less than 4 amos, small carryings, we'll say, short distance carrying, each carrying of less than 4 amos, lo rotsu legalosa, this option was something the Rabbanan did not want to reveal. The prohibition of carrying in a public thoroughfare, in a Rishus HaRabim, involves picking up an item, moving it a distance of at least 4 amos, and then putting it down somewhere further on. If one were to pick up an item, move with it less than 4 amos, then stop, and then again continue moving, stop each time at less than 4 amos, there would be no Torah level violation of Mavir Dalet Amos Brishus HaRabim. Our Gemara. Ein shom lo nochri velo chamor velo cherish velo sheite velo koton mai. Let us say none of the options that we've discussed till now exist. Or, very simply, a Jew is walking along late Friday, and he is laden with his wallet, and he sees that Shabbos is approaching. And what's he going to do with his wallet full of money? And he has none of these options. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak tells us, Oida cheres hoisa, there was one other option, the lo rotsu chachomim legalosa, and the chachomim did not want to reveal it. Notice the drama in the Gemara's presentation of the matter. This we can say, puts the Gemara, separates it from all other kinds of works of halacha, where they simply tell you the facts. And here the Gemara, in its very dramatic way, presents this solution. So the Rabbi Yitzchak says they had another option, but they didn't want to reveal it. My Oda Cheres, I says, what was that other option? Malichu pochos pochos midalet amos. You can carry the wallet when you have no other choice. Carry it, and for a distance of less than 4 amos, stopping each time. Amai lo rotsu chachomim legalosa. Well, why did they not want to reveal this option? Mishum, because of the following consideration. The Gemara presents the consideration in pasuk terms, quoting a pasuk from Mishlei, Kvod Elokim haster davar ukvod melochim chakor davar. In order to preserve the honor of the Almighty, we keep things haster, keep things secret. When it comes to the honor of kings, for example, the learning of Torah, the study of Torah, so chakor davar, we encourage your research and analysis. Let's take a look at Rashi. Kvod Elokim Hastir Davar Mutur Lahastir Divrei Torah Lichvod Shemayim. If there is an issue of preserving the divine honor, so then even Divrei Torah one can shield or keep secret. The next Rashi, Kvod Melochim Chakor Davar Ein Lahastir Lichvod Oishir Odom Lichashivuso Eloshev V'Tachkareu. If there is an issue of a person's honor, honoring his the wealth of an individual and his important status, and that might be, let's say, infringed by some type of Torah revelation, so we don't put the honor of a person above the Torah revelation. However, if it comes to the honor of the Almighty, that might be infringed upon by some type of Torah revelation, so we will hide the Divrei Torah to preserve the Kvod Shemayim. So the Gemara asks, "Va'ocha mai Kvod Elokimika?" What's the honor of the Almighty that might be threatened, so to speak, by this revelation, by letting it be known that you can carry the wallet at increments of less than 4 amos each time? So the Gemara answers, Dilma osi lesuye arba amos bishus arabim. If we allow the transportation of a wallet each time less than 4 amos, one may very likely come to carrying it 4 amos, and the violation of halacha is a desecration of the honor of the Almighty. That is the Kvod Elokim that's at stake. So that as to not come to this desecration, i.e., halacha violation of carrying 4 amos, we didn't want to reveal, the Chum did not want to reveal the less than 4 amo solution. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Bo Bayom, Godshu Sa'ah. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Bo Bayom Mochaku Sa'a. This is a short source, is a riddle-like source. It's not clear at first glance of what is going on. So we will go to Rashi to appreciate, who gives us the background for it. Just before we learn the Rashi, the term Godshu Sa'a, Godesh is a pile on a saw. Saw is a measure, so that if you have a measure of, let's say, grain, and you the measure is called a saw, and till the rim of the vessel it holds a saw. When you pile up beyond the rim of the vessel more and more grain, you see this often in sacks of sugar or sacks of coffee or sacks of barley, wheat, or what have you, and you pile it above the rim, that's called the godesh, the overflow, if you will. And in this context, the term godshu saw is a positive, has a positive ramification. According to Rabbi Yeshua, he says, Bo Bayom, on that day, which we haven't explained yet, Mochaku saw. Mochaku is a situation of where the measure, the vessel that's filled with an item being measured, is then leveled off. And that there is, Mochaku is an indication that there's no overflow, there's no generosity, if you will, that's associated. And in this context, you'll see it has a negative connotation. To appreciate all of this, though, we look in the Rashi. Rashi Dibur Maschil Bo Bayom Godshu Saw Bayom Sha'olu La'Alias Chanani Ben Chizkiah. This is a reference to the day that there was a vote between the Hillel and Beis Shammai in the Aliyah, the attic, or the second story of Hanan ben Chizkiah. This is something that we learned way before, a long time ago, in this Masechta, back on Daf Yud Zayin. So on that day, there was an assembly of Beis Shammai, the Gozru Shmoinah Sudavar. there was a series of rulings on 18 matters, v'zu'achs me'em hoysa, and this issue of carrying 4 amos, or let's say less than 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim, was one of the gezeros made, k'damrinu perakama, noisin kisa l'nochri, bo bayom gozru, shalo yelichenu bochus bochus me'arba amos, im yesh shom nochri. The issue that we have been learning, that if you have a Gentile with you, give it to the Gentile, and do not carry it in increments of less than 4 amos. That is a point that was ruled upon that day when they went to the Aliyah of Hananiah ben Chizkiah. Osayom hirbu siyog l'tor b'mida kedusha. That day they imposed rulings that serve as a fence, as a siyog, a guard against Torah violations. B'mida kedusha, with an overflowing measure. The yofe modedu laharbos geder b'Israel. This idea of a midah gedusha has this positive connotation. They did very well in increasing a geder, a fence against Torah level violations. The next Rashi, mochaku saw. This is that second approach. The first approach of God Shusa is basically praising this ruling of give it to the Nochri and don't carry it 4 amos, don't carry it less than 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim. The other approach, Mochaku saw, Bemida Mechuka, Motudubo Bayom, Shehirbu Ligzor Yosemidai. This approach says that they made too many gezeros that day. V'ein yicholim lamod b'gezerosim, and it will be very difficult to maintain the observation of all those gezeros. When we toch kach oivrim al divrei Torah, if you make gezeros that are too difficult to keep, so people will discount them altogether, and thereby come to violate actual Torah precepts. Nimseis midasim mechuka mitfasa, and it would come out then their measure is leveled less than even a tfifa, is an expression indicating something that's heaping. In other words, you tried to do so much and end up being left with less. The tov hoyolahem lios midasim tfufa v'lo tavo lidei machak mirov gosha. It would have been better for them to to fill the measure up with a little bit of a heaping quantity added than piling so much on top that the whole excess measure falls off and you're left with just a level measure alone. So we continue in the Gemara after presenting this brief source with Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua and their respective attitudes toward the rulings made. We now continue in the same vein, Tanya, another source where we have diamonds that continue the presentation of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua regarding those Yudches Dovor Gezeros, those 18 Zeros, and as we said before, the relevance of those 18 rulings that we learned back on Daf Yud Zayin are because one of them was the rule of not carry, of give the pouch to the Nochri, and don't use the option of less than 4 Amos. Tanya, Moshal de Rabbi Elazar lema hadover dome. Rabbi Elazar's approach in viewing the 18 zeros, all of those rabbinic stringencies that were opposed, how should we view them with an analogy? So he answers, Lekupa mleya kishur v'dilun. Imagine a box full of these types of vegetations, names of different vegetables, kishur and diluin. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that they are large type vegetables. Adam noisin l'soicha chardol v'hi machzekis. Even if the box is full to the brim of kishun and dilun, there's still room to add chardol. Chardol is sometimes translated as mustard, in this case dry mustard seed. It's a powdery form of substance that is in effect seeds. You could add them to the box full of kishulim. They simply fall between the cracks, so that in addition to a full box of kishulim, you also have in it chardol. The point being that the rabbis in imposing these additional gzeros did a good thing, and they are something that can be maintained, just like the addition of the chardal to the box that was seemingly already full. So it's called, they added a dovar hamiskayim, as Rashi terms it. They added something that will last. However, mashal de Rabbi Yeshua l'mal dovar daimeh, using an analogy to illustrate Rabbi Yeshua's approach, what could be paralleled to it? Arevam le'advash. Imagine a bowl filled with honey. Noisin l'socha rimonim ve'goizim v'hi mikiah. Try to put into a bowl full of honey rimonim and egozim. Rimonim are translated often as pomegranates, egozim being nuts. What happens? The bowl of honey, mikiah, spills over. So you'll be end up with less honey in the bowl at the end of the day than would have been had you not tried to add other things to it. So if we look in Rashi, v'hi mikiyah es hadvash shehoya ba rishon, the dvash which was in the bowl first will now be spill out. Af elu, so too with regard to the rabbis that made the gzeros, the yudches gzeros al yedei gzerosom, through their rabbinic imposition, so gormu lavor, they caused violation. Deshema lo yamin es hanochri. Let's take a look at our case with the wallet and the Gentile, and what would happen in this case. It's late Friday afternoon, and he's with a Gentile, but you don't trust him. Deshema lo yamin es hanochri. Maybe you won't trust him. Vehein lo hitiru lo licho pochos pochos me'arba. And they didn't allow. They said that if you have a Gentile, you cannot carry it in increments of less than 4 amos. The adam eino mamid atzmo amamon. A person we know doesn't contain himself when it comes to a threat of financial loss. The osilusui arbamos, and will very likely come to just say, oh, the heck with it, I'm just going to carry it home. And he's going to carry it 4 amos in the Rishus HaRabim. So this approach is saying, wouldn't it have been better for them not to impose that restriction, namely the prohibition of giving it to, of carrying it less than 4 amos when you have a nochri there? We continue in the Gemara. Before we do so, we glance at the side under the Noseh heading, Eich manichin kis al hachamor, kidei shelo yavor al isur mechamer. How is it possible to put the wallet on a donkey and not come to violate an isur, a prohibition called mechamer? The prohibition of mechamer is leading a donkey with a burden on it, of course, on Shabbos. So our Gemara, Omar Mar. Here is a quote from the source that we saw on Omar Aleph, then namely the Mishnah. You notice an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this arrow with a parallel arrow back on Omar Aleph, right at the first line of the Mishnah, lower half of the page. You see the parallel arrow. Omar Mar. So this is a quote from over there. Ein imo nochri manicho ala chamor. If you are walking along and you don't have a Gentile with you, so leave it on the back of the donkey. The Gemara asks, v'halo mechamer, but is there not a Torah violation called mechamer? V'rachmon amar, the Torah says, lo sase kol melocha, and the continuation of the pasuk says, ato vimcha vitecha, etc., zivahem techa, and your animal, so that the Torah is commanding against the performance of melochas, of activities. Not only are you warned against doing melacha, but your animal is under that same restriction. So how is it that if just like you can't carry something in the Rishus Rabbim, you're not allowed to put a burden on an animal and lead it with the burden as well? Omer of Ado Bar Avo, Manicho Aleo Kishi Maleches. Maybe before we get into this particular piece of Gemara, just a word of introduction, and that is that the Isur of Hoitzah and Mavir Arba Amos Bushus Arabim, all of these prohibitions that revolve around the issue of transporting items, entail what's called an Akira and a Hanocha. Akira means the picking up. That means you're taking something from a state of non-movement and starting to move with it. And then Hanocha is putting it down, putting it back at a state of non-movement. If in transporting an item, these elements aren't present, the akira or the hanocha, so then the act of hutzah or havora has not been violated. So our question is, how is it that you can place it on the animal and not be in violation of mechamer? And as we said, mechamer is a subcategory of hoitzah for our purposes in terms of the description of the activity. So Omar of Adabarava, we're reading the line again, Manicho aleo kishi mehaleches. You place the pouch on the animal's back while it is walking. So as far as the animal is concerned, there has been no akira. It was placed on the animal while it was already in movement. The Gemara asks, but it's impossible in the course of an animal's walking that it doesn't stop for urination or for defecation, the iko akira v'hanocha, and then there will be an akira and hanocha, meaning that after the animal, let's say it stops to relieve itself, when it starts up again, that will be the akira, that's the starting, that's with the package on its back, with the wallet on its back, it now is causing the wallet to have been at a state of non-movement, namely when the animal stopped, and now it starts up again, that's the akira, and then when the animal stops later, that will be the hanocha. So there is a violation, so how is the animal option even available? The Gemara answers, kishima leches manichola, so you have to time things so that you place the pouch on the animal's back while the animal is walking. Kshiomenes, when the animal's about to stop, note lo heimeno, then you take it off the animal's back. Well, ihochi afilu chavero nami. Well, if that be the case, so you can do the same thing with your friend. You put the pouch on your friend while he is walking and take it off right before he is about to stop. So, as Rashi says, since we're not in violation of any Isur Doraisa, you can do this thing with a friend. Why the donkey? Omar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa explains. Kol shebegufo chayav chatos. Any action, activity that done by one's own self, if he would do it himself, he would come to a Torah level violation. Rashi says on the first line under the Gemara, Kol shebegufo chayav chatos ki ovid le ihu kulei. If you were to do it entirely by yourself, kigon mavir abe amos b'shus rabim, moving something four amos in a public thoroughfare, afilu akro min haoretz, derech halichoso, even if, let's say, you picked it up as you were walking along, you picked something up while walking, you picked up something from the ground, chayov, to iko akiras chefetz biyadayim, because that involves the uprooting of an item by force, or by your hands. Velo bo'inon amido elo beto'un v'omei be'od yom. The idea of standing still is only if you are, let's say, laden with something from Friday, o kshitinu chavero, or let's say someone else put the item on you, delo okar lei lahai chefetz. You didn't pick it up. Your friend picked it up and put it on your back. But in this case, if you're walking along, picking up an item that was at total rest, that is the akira hilkoch. Ki ovid le chavrei. Therefore, when your friend does it, havi le shnayim sha'asauha the osur midrabonon velo sharyua gabi kis. When your friend picks, let's say, puts it on your back while you are walking, so your friend did the akira, he then put it on your back, he is not going to be doing the hanocha. That's called two people that do one act. As we said before, havara requires an akira and a hanocha done by one person. In the case that we are describing now, where your friend would put it on your back while you are walking, so that would be the act done by two people. the friend having done the Akira, and eventually you're stopping with it on your back. That's the Hanocha. So as the Gemara says, starting again from the beginning of the line, Kol Shebegufo Chayav Chatos, an action that if done by yourself entirely would be sin offering guilty, meaning we call that a Torah level violation. Bechavero, if done together with your friend, then Potur Aval Oser, then it's considered a rabbinic level violation. Kol Shechavero Potur Aval Oser, that type of action that done with other people is only rabbinic. Bechamoro Mutur Lechatchila, if the same action is done with the donkey, that becomes permissible as a first choice. So, therefore, just to go over the last point, if someone is walking along and he doesn't stop walking and I put something on his back on Shabbos, so two people have been involved in the act of Hoitzah, therefore it's called Potur Aval Oser. To do that same thing with an animal would be acceptable as a first choice. And that's why if the question that's why with regard to the question of the Gemara on the third to last narrow line, Ihochi afilu chavero nami, should I not be allowed to do the we'll call it the donkey trick that we mentioned before, put it on the animal's back while it's moving, that is not something that is of a choice with regard to chavero in the event that you have a donkey with you. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rav Ado Bar Ava, Hoiso chaviloso munachas lo al ksefo. If a person had a package on his back from Friday, and then Shabbos sets in, Rots tachtel ad shemagia lebeso. He should run with the package on his back. That means as long as he hasn't stopped to rest, there is no akira. There's no Shabbos violation, as we've explained already a few times in the last few minutes. And that is that the act of hoitzah is violated only if there is an akira coupled with a subsequent hanocha. In this case, the package was on your back from Friday. In other words, the akira was done on a weekday, which is quite all right, obviously. There was no akira done on Shabbos. So we tell you, if you have something on your back from Friday and you're moving along on Shabbos, just keep moving, run till you get home, and then drop the item there. And, you know, in other words, you haven't violated any Torah level Shabbos prohibition. And the Gemara continues and comments on Rav Ado, saying Davka Rots, only running, Avol Koli Koli Lo, but to suggest to this person with the package on his back from Friday to Koli Koli means walk slowly or walk at a normal walking pace, that no, we want you to run. My Taimo, why is that? Kevon de Lesle Hekera, since there is no other means of Hekera means something that's noticeable or recognizable. So, Osi Lemevet Akira Vanocha. If we allow the person to walk gradually, he might very well come to violating the Akira and Hanocha. The Gemara asks, well, Sof, Ki Mota Lebe, say this running individual with a package on his back, when he gets to the front door of his house, E Efsha Delokoi Porta Vekoma Ayo Mirshus O Rabin, Mirshus Ayochid, it's impossible to avoid his koi porta, means stopping a moment before going into the house. So he's basically then stopped while still in the Rishus HaRabim. Now any subsequent movement from that point will be the Akira. And then when he then enters the house with the package, puts it down in the house, that will be its hanocha. So what he has done then, he has gone from a Rishus HaRabim, and he's done the Akira in the Rishus HaRabim, because he had to stop before the door, and done the hanocha in the Rishus HaRabim in the house. That is the archetype of Meleches Hoitzah Hachnosa, bringing from Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYochid. The Gemara answers, the Zorik Lei Kil Achar Yad, that when he, it's true he had to stop, And when he, as far as getting the package into the house, so he tosses it in an unusual fashion, doing something in a strange or unusual fashion, takes it out, removes it from the realm of a Torah level violation, and therefore, in view of the fact that it's probably a, we call a mamon consideration, the Rabbanan said, since it's a ein odo mamid atzma al mamono, so he is allowed to do things this way. We continue in the Gemara, noting at the side we have a nosei, a topic heading, and on the we've indicated ad kuf nun dalet omid beis, that is that this topic will keep us preoccupied for quite a while, Gemara wise, till kuf nun dalet omid beis. We've written under our nosei heading ha'oiver al iser mechamer mahu chayav, a person who violates the prohibition of having an animal transport a burden for you while you are leading it, which called the Isser Mechamer, what is he guilty of? What is the person, the owner, guilty of? By way of structure of Gemara, there's a fairly elaborate structure. You see under the Mivneh we have diamonds 1, 2, and 3. They represent Gimel Lishonos. There are three versions of the presentation. We will notice the use of triangles, and they represent Rami Bar Chama and Rava Cholek Olav, so that the triangles highlighting here, you see Rami Bar Chama, and at the top of, or on Daf, Kuf Nun Dalin, we should say, let's correct ourselves, you have here Rami Bar Chama, and then a few lines later, Rava, who argues with Rami Bar Chama, and therefore, we've chosen in this particular sukkah to have the inverted triangle to show the contrast, if you will, that Rava challenges Rami Bar Chama. And then when we get to Kuf Nun Dalid, Amid Aleph, at the top line, there will be a second version of Rami Bar Chama, and he's introduced with a Roman numeral number 2. Lower on the page, where you're not going to see triangles, because the triangles were reserved for Rami Bar Chama, we will then have a third version, though, of this discussion with Rabbi Yochanan presenting the case, and that's introduced with a Roman numeral number 3, the lower part of Daf Kuf Nun Dalid Amud Aleph. The entire sugya, though, as we indicated before, goes to Kuf Nun Dalid Amud Beis. So, in the context of our Daf Yomi Shiur, we'll Mirtz Hashem learn through the Roman numeral number 1. So our Gemara continues. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Hamachamer Achar Behemto B'Shabbos. Someone who is guilty of this violation of Mechamer, B'Shogeg Chayav Chatos, B'Mezid Chayav Skil. If he does so unwittingly, he's unaware that it's Shabbos, or he's unaware that there is such a prohibition, he will be obligated to bring a sin offering. If he does so B'Mezid knowingly, knowing violation, Chayav Skila, he is Chayav to be stoned as a Torah level violator of Shabbos. My taima, what is the basis of categorizing a mechamer as a regular malacha, as one of the basically as one of the primary forms of Shabbos violation? Omar Rabba, the Omar Kral, the pasuk says Lo yisase kol malacha ato, etc. And the pasuk goes on to say Uvehem techa. Behemto dumyudidei. There's a parallel between the animal and the person. Mahu b'shogig chayev chatos b'mezid chayev skila. Just like the person himself who does the activity, unwittingly he's chayev chatos, and knowingly he's chayev stoning. Af behemto nami. So too with regard to the animal. B'shogig chayev chatos b'mezid chayev skila. Done unwittingly, the owner will be chayav achatos, and knowingly the animal's action will generate a chiyuv skila. Omar Rava, shtei tshuvos vadavar. There are two objections, and we should note that the what Rava is doing is we call a rejection, and it's a long rejection, so we've marked it thusly. You can see the little dalet to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The dalet represents a dechia. We have a little note accompanied by a star on the side of the Gemara. Shnei Tshuvos, one, Be'inyan Shogeg, two, Be'inyan Mezid. We recommend looking using Rashi alongside this discussion. So we continue in the Gemara. Omar Ravos, we said Shnei Tshuvos, but there were two objections to Rami Bar Chama. Number one, Chada, the number one, as we said, corresponds to the number one that we saw above. The number one we saw above under Rami Bar Chama was Bishogig Chayav Chatos. So Rava says, how can you say that if one does Mechamer on Shabbos that he's Chayav Chatos? So Chana Dichtiv, Torah Achas Yelochem Lo'isa Bishkoga, Va'nefesh Eshirtase B'yad Ramah. This is a pasuk, you notice, from Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Tesvav, which deals with idolatry. The pasuk opens up with saying, Torah Achas, one law applies, and here the Gemara says, Hukshukola Torah Kula Vidizora. All of the Torah is paralleled to idolatry. Just like idolatry is violated only when the person himself does the action. So to hear with regard to Shabbos violation, there isn't going to be a chatos, a sin offering obligation, unless you do it yourself. In other words, the animal's action cannot result in the owners becoming obligated to a sin offering. The oid. Furthermore, Tanan, we have a Mishnah that says, "Amachas Shabbos, bedovar shechayovim al shiga sechazos donet skila." This number two that we mentioned, as we said before, corresponds to the number two under Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama said that Mechamer is Chayav Skila. Here we're going to be challenging that point. How can you say that the Mezid, if one knowingly does Mechamer, he knows it's Shabbos, and he says, I'm going to do Mechamer anyway, that he will be Chayav to be stoned? How can that be? There is a Mishnah, and this Mishnah appears in a Masechus Sanhedrin, and it says that one who is Mechal Shabbos in something that has a chatos obligation for a shogeg and a stoning obligation for a mezid. Michlal, this implies the ika midi, there are things, the ein chayovin al shigosu chatos velo al zdono skila. The Mishnah, and you can see the value of our dashed underline, the bedover means in something that. One who violates Shabbos in something that has a chatos and mezid obligation along with them, implying that there's a possibility of violating Shabbos that does not have that. So that's what the Gemara is pointing out. Michal the ikomidi, it must be that there is something. The ein chayovim al shigosu chatos al zdonin koreis, al zdonin skila. Umay nihu, and what is that? What is the thing that might constitute a Shabbos violation, but it doesn't have with it these punishments and obligations? Lav de mechamer. Is it not the prohibition of mechamer? So that if we were to pause here, we would then be concluding that mechamer is something that would not be chayav zdono skila. The Gemara says loy. This low is a rejection of what we just said in point number two. In other words, what Rava wanted to include in point number two, we are now rejecting. When the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that there's a chilul Shabbos in things that are chayav zdono skila, implying that other things that there would not be a chiyuv skila, well, that's a reference to tchumin, Valiba de Rabbi Akiva, Vahavora, Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. Tchumin is the restriction on Shabbos of not walking beyond one's Shabbos boundaries. Without getting into details of what that amount is, if it's 2,000 amas or if it's 12,000 amas, but according to Rabbi Akiva, there is a concept, the concept or the rule of tchum is a Torah level concept. However, if one violates Tumin, even Rabbi Akiva, who says it's Doraisa, agrees that there's no chiyuv skila that accompanies it. And similarly, the violation of burning, of fire, use of fire, of lighting fires on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yossi says that fire is a unique type Shabbos violation in that it is considered a violation of a negative command. It's a lav. Lav is a negative command. However, it is not chayav misas basin. It does not constitute a capital offense. So if you, as far as the source is concerned, that imply there are things on Shabbos that are considered Torah-level Shabbos violations, but don't have a chiyuv skila to it, that will refer to the violation of Tchum, or possibly the violation of Avara, but it doesn't refer to this implied exclusion doesn't refer to Mechamer, leaving Rami Bar Chama's point number two intact. So as we look over the last discussion, and we need to say this simply as a lead in to the next shiur, which will be for Daf Kuf Nun Dalid, we are simply saying that one who violates Mechamer Achar Behemto B'Shabbos, according to Rami Bar Chama, if he does so B'Shogeg, he's Chayev Achatos, and if he does so B'Mezid, so he's Chayev Skila. As far as his point regarding the Chiyuv Chatos, so Rava attempted to challenge that. But for leaving Rava aside, we are left with Rami Bar Chama, and what we call version number one. When we get to the top of Kuf Nun Dalin Amud Aleph, Rav Zvid will be presenting a second version of this. But in view of the context of our shiur being the Daf Yomi, so with this we conclude our shiur for today.